And now here in verse 21 begins our text. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Amen. So far the reading this morning of God's holy and infallible word. Beloved, Jesus was a man of parables, right? Whether or not you see these two sayings in our text verses as parables or not, there are either three or five parables that Jesus gives in this chapter alone. Either way, this is who Jesus was. He taught in parables. This is how we know him. Depending on how you count all of his teachings, there are between 35 and 60 parables that he spoke in total. Why did Jesus use parables? Why did Jesus tell parables? Well, maybe you're thinking right now, because they're wonderful stories. They're easy to listen to. We love to tell our children parables in Sunday school. Well, okay, maybe. But Jesus was a man. Well, he was God who became man, and he came to give a message of eternal salvation and eternal life to a people who were dying. Now, I heard a preacher once describe salvation like this. You know the Niagara River flows into the Niagara Falls, right? Well, here's a description. He said, the fallen, sinful human race is like a group of people who are being carried along, swept down the Niagara River, and we are, about to plunge over the falls to our death. And what the message of salvation is Jesus Christ standing on the shore, reaching out with a stick, the cross, if you will, and he's telling us to grab it as we go by. And if we would just grab it, we would be saved and hold on to it. That's the description that he gave, and I like it. That's a memorable picture and description of the danger that we're in and how we can be saved. Now, if that's true, if that's an accurate picture as far as it goes, then let me ask the question again. Why did Jesus speak in parables? Let me put it to you this way. What would you do if you were the person with that stick? What would you be saying as people were sweeping by you to their certain death? Would you kind of, you know, lean back with the stick beside you and begin a story and say, you know, the kingdom of God is like a man who went out to sow. Or the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. You know, is that what you would be doing? Or would you be holding that stick out as far as you could reach, knowing that the falls are coming up, hearing it ring in your ears, and be yelling, grab the stick! Hold on to the stick! Take it right here! I think I'd be doing that. So why did Jesus speak in parables? Well, our text today in Mark 4, verses 21 through 25, is closely tied in with what Jesus said earlier to his disciples in verse 12. Because there he said, telling them why he was speaking in parables, he said to them, so that, verse 12, seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. That's an odd thing to say. At least we might think it is. Because here is Jesus, the Son of God become man, the only one who can give eternal life, the one who came specifically to give it. And here he is, purposefully concealing the gospel message. Lest they hear, lest they understand, lest they be converted. So that's in verse 12. And then Jesus goes on from there. And in verses 13 through 20, he explains the parable of the four soils that he had spoken before. And it's a familiar parable to us. Let me just review his explanation. He said, the sower goes out to sow the seed. The seed is the word of God. And it's sown in four places: the wayside, or the path, where it doesn't grow. And then the stony ground, where it doesn't really grow either. And then the thorns and the thistles, where it doesn't grow long for there either. And then finally, it's also sown into some good ground, and there it grows. Now, we love this parable. It's one of the most well-known parables, the first parable that Jesus spoke. But you see with this explanation that Jesus, the Lord Jesus, is just emphasizing what he just said. That seeing, they may not perceive. And hearing, they may not understand. Because three out of four of these soils, three out of four of these listeners do not perceive. And they do not understand. This is a love parable, but it should be a difficult parable for us to hear and teach our children. Why? Well, because with all three of these soils, they hear it, but they don't really receive it. It doesn't germinate. Why? Because Jesus is speaking in parables. Why? Why does he use parables? Why does he use parables so that they don't perceive and so that they don't understand? Isn't that why he came? So that they'd understand and receive forgiveness of sins? It just doesn't seem to be the way that we'd do it if we wanted to get across a very important life-changing message. So what's he doing here? Is he subverting his own cause by hiding the gospel message? He says, I speak in parables, lest they should turn from their sins, be converted, and receive forgiveness. Now, you wouldn't want that now if you were a savior, would you? Well, what we have in our text in verses 21 through 25 is the Lord Jesus' answer to all of these questions. Now, don't be misled by verse 21 and the reference there to light and to a candle and to a bushel, and go into thinking, you know, this little light of mine. That's not how Jesus is using this picture of a candle in this passage at all. He uses it elsewhere like that. Matthew chapter 5, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. But that's not how he's using it here. Now, there are two sayings here in these five verses, or two parables if you want to see them as parables. The first one has to do with a candle, and the second with a measuring cup. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk through them verse by verse and explain each one as we go. They're not the easiest verses to understand, and so I want to try and make sure that you grasp them as we go through them, and then we'll put them all together at the end, and then I'll finish with four applications. All right, so let's begin with the parable of the candle, the saying of the candle. Verse 21. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? Now, the picture that he draws here for us is simple. Because of course you don't light a candle and then put it under your bed, unless maybe you're searching for something, but that's not the point here. It's not what he's trying to get across. And in these days, candles were not the decorative or smelly things that we light today. This was their light. If you light a candle, lit a candle in these days, you wanted the light to be seen, to shine. Okay, so the picture is simple. But we have a couple questions now. Like, what does this have to do with everything that he's just said before this? And everything that he will say? And next question, maybe to help us answer the first one, what does the candle represent? Surely it's more than just a candle. So first question, it is definitely connected with what's come before. In the parable of the four soils, or the sower, Jesus ended in verse 9, the parable, by saying, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And in two verses, verse 23, he's going to say again and end this parable that we're looking at of the candle and say, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." So the Lord Jesus is still on the same subject. He's talking about hearing the gospel message. And so when we get to this verse, verse 21, you can't read it and say, well, obviously Jesus is talking about needing our need to let our light shine. No, that's reading other passages into this one. The context here is hearing and receiving the gospel message. So what is the candle? Well, I think our clue comes in the parable of the four soils, because there the focus is the seed being sown. And the seed, Jesus tells us in verse 14, is the word of God. It's that which you hear. And so now on to verse 21, we're still in the same context, the need to hear. And so it seems to me that the candle is equivalent to the seed. The candle is the word of God. And Jesus is switching metaphors, but he's still talking about the same thing. And this is not unusual. Jesus will mix and switch metaphors all the time. So the candle is the word of God. Now this verse answers questions that the parable of the four soils and his explanation of it leaves us. Questions like, why is the one who's sowing wasting so much seed? You know, every farmer knows you don't sow seed on a hard path. That's just bad farming. And you don't sow seed into rocky or thorny soil because nothing's going to grow. You know it. So what a picture, Jesus. What a waste of seed by a farmer. He should just go right to the good soil and sow there. And if this were really about the sower or the farmer and his planting methods, then you'd have a point. This is bad farming. But this is not regular seed. And so Jesus changes the picture here to give us another angle at this seed, at this word of God. And now he says it's a candle. A candle, when you light it, its light shines everywhere. You can't choose and pick where each light beam goes from the candle. You know, maybe you can be careful about where you sow the seed, but when you light a candle, the candle throws out its light indiscriminately. So that's verse 21. Keep that with you as we move on. The word of God is like a candle that shines brightly. Verse 22. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Now this verse is a little tricky, a little difficult. Here's a paraphrase that might be helpful for you to hear. Verse 22 again, in paraphrase, we're not hiding things, we're bringing them out into the open. We're not keeping secrets, we're telling them. Now, this is definitely a response to his comment above about why he speaks in parables, right? Because he said, I speak so that they don't understand. But now he says, but we're not keeping secrets, we're telling them openly. We don't sow in only one spot in the field. We sow everywhere. And the light shines its light everywhere. Now, that's an interesting response. But doesn't it contradict what he's been saying? Because he says here, there's nothing hidden. Nothing has been kept secret. But before he said, I'm speaking in parables so that they don't understand. So what's going on? Is he now saying the opposite? Well, what he's doing is he's qualifying what he said earlier. Because it is the first statement in verse 12 that leaves us scratching our heads and wondering. I mean, why doesn't he want everyone to understand? And why doesn't he want everyone to believe? And so we say, you're hiding the gospel. Look at verse 12, you're hiding the gospel. And he comes here and he qualifies it and he's saying, no. I speak in parables, but the seed is sown everywhere. The light of the candle is meant to shine everywhere. I'm not holding back any secrets. I'm speaking them. But didn't you just say earlier, verse 23, the last verse of the short parable. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And that is the answer. That brings this all together. Let me try and give you an illustration to explain it. If I spoke Dutch from the pulpit, now I can't, but let's say I did. All of you would hear me, right? The mic's still on, the sound system is still here, and you're all in this room. But only some of you would understand me. Now, I could speak the most proper Dutch. I could have the best Dutch accent. I could speak nice and slow, nice and loud, nice and clear. And still, not all of you would understand me. And if I went up to a Dutch-speaking person afterwards and I asked him, how was my Dutch? He could say, wonderful, perfect. Heard every word. And the person sitting right next to him would be scratching their head and saying, that was all gibberish to me. Now, it wouldn't be the words then that's the fault. And it wouldn't be the grammar. It's not the language. Dutch is a perfectly good language, so I'm told, for those who use it. It works pretty well. So where's the problem? Well, the problem is with the hearers. If you don't know Dutch, it doesn't matter how good I am at speaking it, you won't understand me. And Jesus says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus speaks in parables, knowing that some, many, will hear but not understand. But it's not him who's to blame. He's speaking clearly. He's speaking simply. He's bending over backwards, as it were, and he's being a bad farmer. He's spreading the gospel, the seed, everywhere. He's letting everyone hear the gospel message. And if you criticize his farming skills, he turns and he says, well, the word is meant to be a light that shines brightly everywhere. I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to speak the gospel message everywhere. There's no one too poor or too lowly or too bad or too sinful or too prideful to hear the gospel message. I'm going to speak it. I'm not keeping it secret. You know, there are churches that will say that you can't speak the gospel. You can't offer the gospel freely because there's hard soil sitting in the pews. There's thorny, stony soil. There's a mixed multitude. And so their sermons won't have the gospel, but that's not Jesus at all. He speaks it everywhere, to everyone, freely. Yet he knows that what he says, even though it's heard, will not be understood by everyone. There are four types of soil. But the fault is not that he doesn't speak clearly. He does. The fault is with the hearer. They all don't understand the language that he's speaking. What's the parable? If I asked you in between services, what's the parable? What would you say to me? How would you respond? Well, there's a very common way that we have of describing parables. I'm sure you all know it. One sentence. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly message. So why is it? There was this huge multitude before him. All heard him, but not all understood him. Why? And why did he, knowing that, still speak in parables? Because he was speaking in a heavenly language. And so only those who had hearts that had been changed, transformed, prepared, plowed by heaven could understand. Why do you think that he keeps repeating, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear? If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. You have to have heavenly ears to understand the heavenly stories. You have to have spiritual ears to understand the spiritual language. The gospel call goes out to everyone, but only those who have ears to hear will understand it. Isn't this what Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 26? He says, "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." He speaks in parables then because he was calling his own sheep. They understood him, and his own sheep love his parables. They love to hear him speak. And in this way, parables are representative of the whole gospel message. I mean, this is why they so define the Lord Jesus' teaching and his ministry. They represent it. We didn't read it, but a few verses later it will say that he didn't speak to them except in parables. Isn't the gospel message, the life of Christ, the death of Christ in my place, taking what I deserve, and then his resurrection from the grave, and now the hope that we have of his coming back? You know, that's heard by many, many people. Some people hear it and it changes their life. It dominates their life. They live their life by it. They trust their death by it. Others hear the same words, the same gospel message, and it doesn't mean a thing. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Now, the picture that I gave near the beginning of Niagara Falls and people being swept to their death, it's right as far as it goes, but now we can fill it in a little further. You know, this was right. We are all in the Niagara River, as it were, being swept away, and we are all rushing towards those falls. And Jesus is on the shore with the stick, the cross, and he's ready to save. But now we need to add this part. As we're being swept down the river, we have no clue of what lies ahead, of the danger. We have no idea. It's like our ears are plugged. We don't hear the roar of the falls. And we have no cares and no concerns. We're going down in our swimming shorts. We're sitting on our tire tubes with a drink in our hands or on our yachts. We're having a grand old time, blissfully ignorant of what lies ahead. And Jesus can stand on the shore then to those kind of people, and he could yell at the top of his lungs, "Danger! Danger! Danger! Grab my hand! I'll pull you ashore!" And sitting in our tubes, we'd look at him and we'd say, "He's daft. What's he saying? I'm fine. We're great. What's he talking about?" And so he comes and he talks in parables. And whoever has ears to hear will hear him and grab him and trust him and hold on for dear life as we go in that river. And so when he says here, "I speak in parables so that when they hear, they will not understand," don't think at all that some are being swept by, terrified, and they're reaching for him and he's pulling back his hand at the last minute. No, No, he's speaking a heavenly, a spiritual language. And if they had ears to hear, they would understand and they would be saved. It's all about how you hear. Now, that's the parable of the candle. Now, much more quickly, the parable of the measuring cup. Now, this is, I would say, an application to what's just been said by the Lord Jesus. Verse 24. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. Now, he's using another metaphor here. Now one of a measuring cup. And he does so. And when he does so, he's borrowing a common Jewish saying. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. It's an agricultural picture. It's a general proverb. It's the same thing as what Galatians 6 verse 7 says, where it says, whatever one sows, that he will also reap. Or 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now there, the Apostle Paul is talking about tithing and giving, but here Jesus is using this familiar proverb, and he's applying it to hearing. Because he says right before it, take heed what you hear. And then right after it, unto you that hear, more shall more be given. In other words, if you listen well, you will receive well. If you listen much, you will receive much. Right? If I'm speaking Dutch up here, and you don't know Dutch, but you go home and you sit down and you're going to learn Dutch and you pour your time into it, you pour your energy into it, and you learn it. When you come back next week and I speak Dutch again, you're going to understand something more than you understood the week before. And the more you go back and the more you study and the more you work hard to listen, the more you're going to get out of it. But flip it around. If you hear it and you say, Dutch, we're in America now, this is English, and you do nothing, and you come back the next week and I speak Dutch again, you are still going to understand nothing. And that helps us make sense of verse 25. Verse 25, for he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. So to keep going with our example, the more understanding you have of Dutch, the more you're going to receive. Get out of it every time. And you go home and you learn again, you study again, you come back and you receive more and more and more. But if you don't, if I went to a Dutch service, and I don't understand Dutch either, but the first time, I'd sit here, I'd listen, and I'd be thinking, it's interesting. It's nice to sit through a different service. But I come back perhaps the fifth time, the sixth time, the seventh time, hearing the same old stuff I don't understand. It just goes over my head. I'd be saying something, if I sit through another Dutch service, I'm gonna scream, or something like that. It would just get on your nerves after a while if you don't understand what's being spoken. Jesus is saying, I'm speaking a heavenly language. You know it. You know it. I'm speaking in parables. And every sermon that seeks to be based upon God's word is a heavenly language, and you know it. Every week you come, you know what's going to be spoken. Something from the word of God. And you can either hear it and say, I'm going to go and study, I'm going to go and apply, I'm going to go and learn, or you can walk away and say, to him who has, more will be given. Or what you have even will be taken away from you. One commentary sums this parable the saying of the measuring cup up like this. Those who do not hear well will become the have-nots, who lose everything they might have as they become mired deeper in a slough of indifference and ignorance. Those who hear well will get more explanation of God's purposes and will have a superabundance of understanding. All right, that's the parable of the candle and the parable of the measuring cup. Now let's bring it together. Here's the point. How you listen to the word is essential to your salvation. It's very important for me to come up here and preach. It's a weighty thing to preach the gospel, but it is as weighty for you to sit and hear the gospel message. And you don't just listen to put your time in to fulfill the service and go out and chat, because then it will be taken away from you. As Jesus says, take heed what ye hear. Now let me end with four applications. I won't be long. These are meant to stir up your own thoughts, your own discussions on this. I'm just starting them for you. Four applications to help you prepare to hear sermons. Number one, pray that God would give you ears to hear. Pray that God would give you ears to hear. There is an incredible sense, even though you are the one who has to hear, there's an incredible sense of sovereignty here. The Lord Jesus speaks in parables because he knows that only those who are his will hear and understand. So pray to God that he would make you one of those who would understand. Do you pray for your own hearing? It's wonderful. I hear many times on Sundays during the week when I make visits, Pastor, I'm praying for you. Praying for your preaching. Wonderful. Do you pray for your own hearing? Have it as your Saturday night prayer, as you're preparing for Sunday. Or have it as your Sunday morning prayer. Lord, give me ears to hear. Help me understand more. I know that what I sow, I will reap. Lord, I'm sowing these prayers to you. Help me to reap in the sermon today. Pray that God would give you ears. Pray that he would come and break the soil, the hard soil of your heart. Take the sin away that so distracts you, the temptations that are on your mind even as you're sitting listening to the sermon. Pray that your ears may have a free road, as it were, to the hearing of the preacher, that nothing would block it. Number two, learn to view all sermons alike and all preachers alike. Learn to view all sermons alike and all preachers alike. If a preacher seeks to bring God's word faithfully, it's not the sower that makes a difference, and it's not the seed, it's the hearer. Take heed what ye hear. If you're being swept down the river to your death, and someone's there with a stick, a branch, to save you, does it matter so much how he tells you to grab onto that stick, or the tone of his voice as he's saying it to you? Or does it matter if he's leaning a little bit to the left or to the right as he's saying it to you? No! If he's bringing you the gospel message faithfully, grab onto it. You don't quibble. You want that life offered. And when you climb onto the shore, saved, you're never ever going to say, boy, I wish that person 4 feet down there with that stick had saved me, had held out the stick for me. Ask yourself every single sermon, even the boring ones, because they still bring life. Ask yourself, did I really listen to that message? Did I really listen? Learn to view all sermons alike and all preachers who are seeking to be faithful alike. Number three, think think about the words of the songs and the prayer that come before the sermon in the worship service. Think about them. Singing is worship, but it also has a very important role of preparing us for worship. That's one of the reasons why it's so wonderful that we're psalm singing congregations, because we sing God's word to help us prepare to hear God's word. The heavenly speech we sing gets us ready to hear heavenly speech. It's like an appetizer, if you will, for the main course. When you sing, listen, think, pray, tune your ears and your mind, and then sing. And last, number four, when you leave, take the word with you. When you leave, take the word with you, whatever it takes to do that. Meditate upon it, discuss it with someone. Every family around the lunch table, around the supper table should be doing it, discussing it. Read it over again. Pray over it. Ask questions about it. The same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Do you know what that means? If you say, for example, all right, I'll come to church. I'll listen to God. I'll listen for a sermon, you know, for 40 minutes, 45 minutes perhaps. But then I'm walking away and my mind's free again. I'll put in my time here. But when I walk out of that church, it's sunshine, take off my suit and my tie, and I'm going to talk about everything else under the sun. If that's the measure you use, and you don't take away what you've heard, what if God used that measure back against you? For example, when you pray, if you return that same measure, and he said, well, I'll listen to her prayer, I'll listen to his prayer, but when she says amen, that's it. I'm turning my ears, I'm walking away. They can pray all they want. You reap what you sow. Do you understand what that means? Do you believe that? Do you hear that? Take the word with you when you leave. Now, what could be more important for you to think about this week than what God, in his sovereign grace, has given you to hear on the first day in his house with his people? And here's a place to start. Ask, what did Jesus speak? Or why did Jesus speak in parables? There's a question to get you going in your discussion after. Why did Jesus speak in parables? If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy Son, who came to bring a gospel message to sinners who are dying. We thank thee that he spoke in parables, that he came to bring a message of life in those parables. And we pray, O Lord, that thou wouldst make us, help us, give us ears to hear and understand, that we may trust in thy sovereignty to save us, but also do the work that thou hast given us to do, to hear, to listen, to study, to learn. O Lord, let no man, no woman, no child be left behind. In this congregation, may they all hear the gospel call. May they all reach out by faith. Grab on to the Lord Jesus. Trust in him. Cling to him for life and through death. And so bless us, Lord, we pray, with thy word. Forgive what was misspoken. Forgive what was distracting us. Forgive us as we were distracted. And May we walk away again thinking of Christ and the words that he spoke. We pray in Jesus' name alone. Amen.